Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Bible study. This is Brother Miles. Excuse me. This is Brother Miles. I'm glad you decided to tune in with us this morning. Hope all is going well. And if not, then we'll be in prayer for one another. How about that? Okay. We are in Genesis chapter 19, and we ended last week with the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, it was about to happen. I'm going to say chapter 19, verses 22 and 23, where Lot was being escorted out of the city. He had to be drug out of the city. He lingered, and angels of God couldn't do anything until Lot got out because he was under protection. God had promised Abraham that he would, get him, protect him and his family. Those that would leave, and Lot and his wife and two daughters left, and two other daughters that were married to the two sons-in-law perished in the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. So that's where we are. But before we really get started, let's have a word of prayer, and let's be in prayer for one another. The COVID-19, there's different people who have it. We don't have anyone in our church who has it. We've had some people to test positive and have overcome. And we've got a young lady at our work who tested positive, and she's doing better. And so, but there's those in the nursing home that we want to be in prayer for. Oakview, there's several, 12, 15 people, residents over there. And, for them, their families, and the workers, too, that are, I know, spending long hours and putting themselves in jeopardy. And so, let's remember them, okay? All right, so let's pray for our churches, our pastors, and let's call on God to end this, to bring it to an end. And whatever I have to do to make that, whatever I have to do to for God to work in my life to that end, I'm willing to do that. That's how we need to look at it, okay? And so let's be in prayer for one another and our churches, our preachers, and our people. And if you got someone on your heart this morning, just remember them as we pray, okay? Lord, thank you for our time together today. And Lord, we come to you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we're asking you to deliver us through this situation. Those people who've contracted this disease, Lord, we lift them up to you in the nursing home, homes, friends, churches, workplace. Lord, we just pray that you would be with those people who are sick, be with those people who are the families who are involved and who are quarantined, who can't be around one another. And Lord, just give strength where strength is needed and comfort. And Lord, help us to look to you. And in looking to you, help us to look at ourselves to see where we are and what we need to do, Lord, to align ourselves with the prayer that we're asking and the mercy that we're seeking. We love you and praise you. Help us with our study today because we ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. All right, now, Lot's being drug out. He's being drug out. And they said, don't look behind, neither stay thou in all the plain, escape to the mountain. Lot wanted to go to this little city called Zoar. So they when the sun was risen up, must have been a long night. When the sun was risen up upon the earth, it was when Lot entered into Zoar. That's verse 23. And then verse 24, God was free to act. God keeps his promises, and he promised Abraham that Lot would come out. And God keeps his promises. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. Total destruction. This is another time when God destroyed a humanity for their sin, and so it says. But look at verse 26. It says, but his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. One of the oddest, most mysterious deaths in the Bible. She looked back, and in looking back, you can speculate why she looked back. I believe it had to be, well, they just flat said, don't look back for any reason. And whatever the reason was, whether she missed being there, or whether she wanted to see the destruction, or whether she was happy that it was being destroyed, it doesn't matter. The point is that in verse 17, escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou on all the plain. You know, they were instructed. God, when God gives instruction, he means for it to be kept. That's why it's called the Ten Commandments and not the Ten Suggestions. And we break the Ten Commandments and we turn them into the Ten Suggestions. And when we know we're in a situation we're supposed to do right and we don't, it's sin. He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And so she turned into a pillar of salt. And she was always remembered for that. And then that's a separate verse unto itself. And then the new thought begins in verse 27. It said, Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. That's interesting that he went right back to where he had talked with God and he had asked God, you know, if there were so many people there, would he save them, so on and so forth. And how he counted on, he was convinced of God's mercy, his love for Lot, and he was confident that God would answer his prayer. And so he went back to that place. That's a good place to go back to sometimes. You can't go back there and dwell, because life goes on. And that's a very momentous occasion in Abraham's life. And I believe it. And even though as we study further, we'll find out later on here, and I don't know if it'll be this morning or not, but later on we'll find out that Abraham tells a lie again about Sarah. But along life's road, there's teachable times. There's times when we get in touch with God and God moves in our life, and it's a momentous occasion. It's a mountaintop experience. See, this speaks of deliverance right here. And Abraham had the faith to believe that God would do this, could do this, and would do this, and would save his family, and he did. And this helped Abraham to, it built his confidence in God. It built his confidence in God. And when we see a question, or when we see a request like this being answered in the Bible, it ought to build our confidence. It ought to undergird us to know that when God makes a promise, he keeps it. Let me step off to the side just briefly, just like we're in Revelation chapter 5. We were in Revelation chapter 5 last Sunday. And in chapter 4, it talks about what John saw. And he saw the one that sat on the throne like a sardine stone and like a brilliant. And then how beautiful it was. And then he said there was a rainbow around the throne. First thing I thought of was God's promise to Noah, of course, to not destroy the world again by water. But then I also thought of God's promises. His promises are precious. And when you're in a situation, see, God promised to deliver Abraham. He promised to make Abraham a great nation. He made promise Abraham he's going to have a son. He promised Abraham a land, a seed, and a blessing. And God was working, even though it took, by the time we get to Isaac, it's about 25 years, something like that. And time went on. These things that happened in Abraham's life were to undergird him and to strengthen his faith. And that's when things happen in our life. Right now, we ought to depend on God, trust God, keep going. You know, don't use this as a time to, well, I can't go to church. I can't participate. Yes, you can. You might have to sit a distance apart, but you can. We're in church, and we're doing our best to social distance, and we're trusting the Lord. We're doing what we know to do, and so keep doing that. Do what you know to do. What you know God wants you to do. That's what you do. And so Abraham, he went and he stood before the Lord, and he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain, and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. It was so great and so enormous, he could see it from where he was. And it said in verse 29, it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, and when he overthrew the cities in which Lot dwelt. Now, see, I like that term, God remembered Abraham. It's not that God would have forgotten Abraham. It's just that what that tells me is that God, that helps me to know that God keeps his promise. Now, that's important, people. Somebody listening today may be depending on a promise of God. You may have found a place in the Bible that speaks to your situation. And you may be holding on to that promise. Well, hold on to it. Don't let it go. Don't waver from it. And endure. Persevere. And don't expect God always to do something immediately. We live in such a get-it-now world, pay later, immediate gratification. God don't always work that way. Seldom does he work that way. Now, God gives peace when we trust him, and God gives and builds our confidence when we trust him and depend upon his word. And that's what he wants, and that's what the devil hates. Now, see, just as much as God's given peace and confidence, the devil's trying to tear that down. And I'm sure in Abraham's life, the devil came to him in the night and tried to dissuade him and trust in God that Lot was going, his family was going to be delivered. But Abraham stood firm. Now, let's go on. A strange occasion right here, beginning of verse 30. And Lot went out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountain, and his two daughters with him, for he feared to dwell in Zoar, and he dwelt in a cave, and his two daughters, they were the only ones that escaped. So people in the surrounding area might have had some sort of hard feelings toward him, and that he was responsible or something. But anyway, they was dwelling in the cave, he and his two daughters. Now, the firstborn and said unto the younger, our fathers, oh, there's not a man in the earth to come into us after the manner of the earth. And so, you know, those girls coming out of Sodom and Gomorrah and knowing what that lifestyle was there, and that it had been destroyed, evidently feared that they wouldn't have, that their seed couldn't be raised up from their family to carry on their family name. And so this was their thinking. The firstborn said unto the younger, our father is old, and there's not a man in the earth to come into us after the manner of the earth. Come, let's make our father drink wine. And the first thing I thought right here is that they knew this was wrong. Any Hebrew read this would have known this was wrong. It doesn't actually say in this passage that it's wrong. It didn't have to. They knew. They knew that. Later on, after when reading this, that this was sinful, and by the fact that they made him drink wine, and we will lie with him that we may preserve our seed after our father, and they made their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in and lay with her father, and he perceived not when she lay down or when she arose, so he got drunk, he got passing out drunk, falling down drunk, and he didn't even know what was going on, and the thing is. Though that for him to be in that condition and to be unaware and to not have responsibility is tremendously wrong. To find himself to allow himself to get to that point was opening himself up for all kinds of trouble. See, that's what the devil does. See, drinking and all that kind of stuff, it tends to soothe. And it makes you forget about your problems, I guess, for a little while. But there's always a consequence. There's always the end result is not what we would ever have. I remember my daddy said one time that he used to go to the Georgia State Prison with the Highways and Hedges Prison Ministry and pass out, you know, Bible lessons and give candy to the guys and stuff and witness to them. And it has won a lot of men to the Lord. And you got this one young man down there that just was out of place. A lot of people in prison are out of place. And he didn't look the look. He didn't talk the talk. And my daddy got to talking to him. He was a young man, about 30, 35 years old, was at a party and drank some, left the party to go home. And long story short, he left the road and hit an oncoming vehicle and killed a woman and her children. And, of course, was found guilty of vehicular homicide and plus drinking under the influence and had to spend like 30 some odd years, something like that, in prison. And this man wasn't a drinker. He wasn't what you would call a drinker, but he drank that night, and that's all it took. And this is the devil. This is how the devil works, y'all. This is how he works. And this man, he was insignificant to a lot of people. He was just a man in his family, just like you, me, and everybody else. The devil doesn't always go after prominent people. He goes after people. And because your name might not be high on the list, but he's after you just like he is everybody else. So these girls right here, you know, set their father up for a... And this thing right here had some far-reaching consequences. And so the first one went in, and it came to pass on the morrow, verse 34, that the firstborn said unto the younger, behold, I lay yesternight with my father. And just saying this, just listening to this girl say this to her sister gives you the creeps, don't it? I mean, seriously, listen to this. Behold, I lay yesternight with my father. Let us make him drink wine this night also, and go thou in and lie with him, that we may preserve seed for our father. There was no basis for this. That none whatsoever. This would have never been right. I don't care if there was never any men left. If all the men were gone, then that the it still would have never been right. And some terrible consequences come out of this. Look at your Bible. They made their father drink that night also. The younger rose and lay with him, and he perceived not when she lay down and when she arose. And that's kind of weird right there, that he was in such a state, yet it happened. Okay? Thus were both the daughters of Lot with child by their father. Now that's in the Bible. That's there. And here's the thing. It'll always be there. Now, when we sin, it's always there. Now, God takes it away. You know, when we ask for forgiveness and we repent of our sin, he forgets it. That's the thing about God. It's about us. We look at, when we talk about David, first thing we think about David is him and Bathsheba. We think about Jonah, how he ran from God. You know, I mean, when you think of different people, usually you think of the negative. But you know, even though it's in the Bible, and it's in the Bible for a lesson, because there's history involved here, and future enemies of Israel are born. And so it has a historical thought, it has a historical meaning and a historical significance. And it has a spiritual significance too. Don't do that. I mean, it's later on, the Ten Commandments and the giving of the law and everything in Leviticus and all that is strictly forbidden. Strictly forbidden. And the firstborn bare a son called his name Moab. Does that ring a bell? Moab. In our future studies, we'll eventually come across the Moabites. The same as the father of the Moabites unto this day. And the younger, she also bare a son and called his name Ben-Ammi. The same as the father of the children of Ammon unto this day. Two of Israel's worst enemies. All right, that section is there. And I personally believe it's there for historical purposes. It's there for spiritual purposes. It's there to let us know how the life of Israel and people around Israel are developed into the future. Now, chapter 20. This is interesting right here. Chapter 20. And Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country and dwelt between Kadesh and Shur and sojourned in Gerar. So, see, Abraham was a nomad. They're nomadic people. And Abraham said to Sarah, his wife, and Abraham said of Sarah, his wife, she's my sister. There it goes, right there. There it goes. Now that's not strange. Don't think Abraham. Don't think bad of Abraham. The Bible says he believed God and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. But he wasn't perfect. He wasn't perfect. Don't hold somebody up so high that if you see a flaw, if there is such a thing, or something happens that you can that overpowers or overcomes. That you stereotype them for the rest of their life. Let's not do that. Now, this second time he did it, and God, you know, spoke to him the first time. Does that ever happen to you? Let's think for just a moment. How many times has God forgiven us for the same sin? Boy, that hurt right there. And Abraham said of his wife, she's my sister, Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. You remember, just like in the past, you know, they would take these women, these beautiful women, and add them to their harem. And so, and Sarah was in league with him. She didn't, because most of the time what would happen is if she was pretty, they would take her and kill him. And so Abraham said, but in verse 3, but God came to Abimelech in a dream by night. Now see, here's God working, because the purpose was for her to be in that harem is for him to have her. Come on, somebody. That's what that was for. Now it didn't turn out that way, but the possibility of that. And what did God say? God said, Abraham and Sarah are going to have a child. Abraham and Sarah are going to have the union. See, there's the promise. There's the word of God right there. So God steps in, but God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said unto him, behold, thou art but a dead man. Now, listen, this is how serious God is. Now, God is love, and God is patient. God is kind. God is long-suffering, and God is merciful. And I love those qualities. I love God's mercy. Don't you love the fact that God is long suffering, and God and the Bible says He's not punished us even close to how we've sinned. But God came to Abimelech in the dream by night and said, "But thou art a dead man, for the woman which thou hast taken, for she's a man's wife." Boy, can you imagine what Abimelech thought in his dream? God spoke to him clearly and in such a manner that he said, you need to listen to what I'm saying. There was times when my mom would tell me stuff and I would about half pay attention. But then there was times when she told me stuff that there was no play in, and I knew we ain't going to do that. Y'all with me? Come on, somebody. Verse 4, Abimelech had not come near her. And he said, Lord, what wilt thou slay a righteous nation? Now, see, he had enough sense to know and understand the power of God. Don't you think he had heard about Sodom and Gomorrah? These incidences are not isolated to where people see. Word was carried by word of mouth, and in documents and all this in those kind of ways, and that's how stories was told. People told and what they had heard and what had happened. So you know good and well, Abimelech had an idea of who God was. All right, now Abimelech had not come near her. Verse 5, said he not unto me, she's my sister. He said, Lord, Abraham told me she is his sister. And she even herself said, he is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands have I done this. So Abimelech was pleading his case, Abraham and Sarah both. So he... I don't know if he inquired of Abraham or if Abraham offered. It doesn't matter. He knew. Abraham said, she's my sister. And even she backed up what Abraham was saying. So she was in it also. Now, and God said unto him in a dream, yea, I know that thou didst it in integrity of thy heart, for I also withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. So God had his hand. God had his hand on him in case... Sarah must have been beautiful. I think she was very beautiful. Abraham said she was earlier, and now she's older now. But she had to be beautiful, or he wouldn't have wanted her for his harem. And she had to be beautiful for God to have said, "I withheld thee from sinning." Y'all understand what I'm saying? Come on now, and I don't need to spell it out no more. And so, anyway, verse 7, therefore restore this man his wife, for he is a prophet. First time in the Bible, man's called a prophet. Abraham's a prophet. And he shall pray for thee. All right, that's interesting right there. He shall pray for thee. And you'll understand what that means a little later on. I hope we can get to it. And thou shalt live, and if thou restore her not, know that thou shalt surely die, thou and all that are thine. All right. He's saying he understands that the man is really sorry for this happening, and his intentions, I don't know if you would call them honorable, but he had no intentions of killing Abraham and taking her. I don't know how you would explain that, but he still could have said, he still could have refused. But so, and God gives the warning right there, just in case. He gives the warning right there. He said, if you don't restore her, he said, you and everything you have is going to die. Verse 8, therefore, Abimelech rose early in the morning. Now, this is in this vision going on. Abimelech rose early in the morning, called his servants, and told all these things in their ears. And the men were so afraid, he called everybody together and said, listen, we've got trouble. And he explained everything to them. And everybody was afraid. And then verse 9, and Abimelech called Abraham and said unto him, what hast thou done unto us? And what have I offended thee, that thou hast brought on me and my kingdom a great sin? Thou hast done deeds unto me that ought not be done. He was stating, now see, he took what God said as dead serious. The situation he was in was not a flippant situation. We need to take God seriously. We need to take God seriously at his word, because we will suffer the consequences if we don't. God means to be obeyed. And God means to be honored and magnified and glorified. God means to be first. God means to be first. And Abimelech said unto Abraham, what sawest thou that thou hast done this? Why would you do this, Abraham? And Abraham, because I thought, surely the fear of God is not in this place, and they will slay me for my wife's sake. See, there's that fear. Now, see, think about Abraham just a minute. Think about Abraham just a minute. You know, I used to have this idea that all these people in the Bible were like these, like real special folk. And they are. They are. Now, let me say this right here. If Abraham wore breeches, all right, he would put his breeches on just like you do if you're a man and I'm a man. He'd put his breeches on one leg at a time. That's what my mama used to say. He puts his pants on one leg at a time just like you do. Now, God chose him. He's the father of the Hebrew race. Now, God chose him. But what God chose was a man. And in Abraham, now see, it doesn't say that Abraham prayed or Abraham sought God. And man, he had built altars and he sought God for Lot. Situations in our lives, sometimes we find ourselves not making the right decision. Is that true or false? Come on, somebody. And Abraham, because I thought, now see, that's where he went wrong. That's where you and I go wrong, is when we start thinking instead of trusting. He said, because I thought, surely the fear of God is not in this place, and they'll slay me for my life. He said, I was scared y'all was going to kill me. I was scared y'all was a bunch of pagans, a bunch of heathens, and I'll just be honest with you, Abimelech, I thought you'd kill me. And now watch what he says. He said, and yet indeed she is my sister. What? Yet indeed she is my sister. She's the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother. And she became my wife, so she was his half-sister. They didn't have the same mother, had the same father, okay? So now that won't get by. That won't get by right there. Only, now see, when you think of a half-truth, when you think of not the whole truth, where does that come from? Well, that was born in the garden. Satan brought that in, remember? Hath God said, while thou shalt not surely die, you'll become gods. That's the oldest trick in the book right there. And it won't ever work. Now see, God, now listen, here's God standing in for Abraham. Here's God, he's standing in for Abimelech too and for his kingdom. And it came to pass when God caused me to wander from my father's house that I said unto her, this is the kindness which thou shalt show unto me at every place whether we shall come, say of me, he's my brother. So see, they had this pact. They had this pact, they had this agreement from the start. And this was, and he was afraid when he went down to Egypt, he was afraid they was going to kill him. But see, he was under God's protection. And now, he was willing for her to become a part of this man's harem and the man in Egypt, his harem too, for his life. And Abimelech took sheep and oxen and men servants and women servants, and he gave them unto Abraham and restored him Sarah's wife. So Abimelech to show Abraham that all was okay and everything was all right. He gave him sheep and he gave her back to him. Y'all, I think my time, I've got like 30 seconds. So let's get these last few verses. And Abimelech said, behold, my land is before thee, dwell where it please thee. And unto Sarah, he said, behold, I've given thy brother 1,000 pieces of silver. Behold, he is to thee a covering of eyes unto all that are with thee and with others. We'll stop right there in verse 17. My time is gone, but listen, I'll see you next week here on Bible Study, okay? Y'all take care, and I love you in Jesus' name. Amen.